Niro, but I've been hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos, right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash box, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen, look at Simmons with them pastries.
Cruising down 8th Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Ty Ty, still sipping my ties. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Jigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I'm most definitely from.
Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are a bit out of sorts today because I am in North Hollywood, Jennifer's in Chicago, and Edward is in Indiana. So, hence all of these mad Skyping going on.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But, I know, right?
Welcome. We apologize for the day late, but things have been a little crazy with Jennifer being out of town, so this was the first chance we had, but we are here. We are back to discuss Season 2, Episode 1, Audition. I really never thought we'd be saying the word Season 2.
Why would you... Okay, you obviously knew Season 2 was coming.
Well,
why would you...
A year ago, I never thought we'd be saying the word Season 2. Because, I mean, we all watched the show and went, holy crap. Like, there's nothing else like this on television. So, you know, it's still a little surprising.
But I don't know. Like, we obviously fell in love with it, and we aren't alone.
We did.
So as long as there's, like, 7.5 million of us-ish, then we'll be fine.
Jennifer, you can attest to this, but when Josh falls in love with something, he usually is the only one, right?
Or you're just, you know, it's you and that particular group, and... Yeah, if you fall in love with something that strongly, it's usually a goner.
Well, I mean, at least we're definitely at least a strong minority.
Yes.
Glee is not a minority. Like, it's about minorities, but Glee is not a minority. We've won. Like,
when, we won. We yeah. win again.
We won. This time we won. Well, very cool. Well, welcome back. We're here to talk about Season 2, Episode 1, Audition. I want to thank everybody who emailed us. Ed, you said you put some stuff on the Facebook page and got some good responses for us to discuss, so that's exciting.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, we had lots of good feedback on last episode, so keep that coming. You can always email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. There was a gazillion emails on this episode, so I apologize.
I'm sure. I'm glad I'm not taking care of the email front.
I've been too busy to even read them, so I apologize. I promise I will get to them this weekend, which I know removes their relevance from the conversation, but seriously, it's been a crazy week. So there's lots going on, but before we get started, Ed, how are things in Indiana?
Things are fantabulous.
And Jennifer, what's the weather like in Chicago?
Oh, it's clear and probably 65. It's really pretty.
Phew.
It was 90 yesterday, though. It was crazy.
Have you done anything fun in Chicago? It's like,
no,
it's like my town.
Not yet.
I'm excited.
But everybody, the show ended last night. We did our wrap up this morning. So now I'm on my own for the next couple of days, and I bought tickets for the Jim Henson exhibit, which opens today at the I think it's the Science and Learning Center. And then tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to the Gourmet Food and Wine Festival, which is sold out, but the hotel got me tickets. So I've got lots to do. I'm really excited. I'm going to go exploring this afternoon. Yeah, it's a beautiful town. It's so great to be in a city where you can walk places.
Wait, we lost you there. It's great to be in a city where you can walk places?
Yeah, yes. That's what she said.
Okay. I don't know why we lost her there. So, it sounds like your Skype is kind of going in and out, Jennifer, at times, so I will let you know
if you've lost me.
If I've lost you, yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
It's all right. No, we're doing good. We're doing good so far. Let's go ahead and dive into the episode Audition. Lots of new things happening now. We've got new characters to deal with. We've got 5 new songs to discuss. But right off the top, they open with that interview segment.
Which is so Good.
Exactly. Jacob Ben Israel. I finally caught his name. Jacob Ben Israel, the blogger, was interviewing the Glee Club members on their Glee's Big Gay Summer.
It was so good. It was chock filled of self-aware humor that that made the first season as epic as it was, and with that as the first like big punch of the season, it was an effective one for sure.
And I totally agree. What was struck me about it was how self-aware that whole segment was. Like every one of the questions that Jacob asked in that sequence, I've seen on the internet.
Exactly. That's what's like, Will Schuster not rapping?
Yeah.
I mean, that was my favorite one. Well, my next favorite was definitely when is Rachel's triumphant return to the Shire.
Oh, I know. It was pretty great. I mean, Jennifer, did you have any takeaways from that opening scene?
Oh, I loved it. I thought every bit of it was just so good, so relevant, so funny. And yeah, completely self-aware. I mean, like even Kurt, you know, going on his tirade about, you know, people hiding behind a computer and blogging and saying nasty stuff. I mean, it just every bit of it. Oh, and you know, Rachel, or in particularly Michelle being accused of being a diva and just every bit of it. But seriously, guys, Brittany, people thought I went on vacation, but I was really lost in the sewers.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good.
Random.
Oh, my God. But I probably watched that sequence about 6 times.
you're more dedicated than me. I only watched like 3. You're crazy. Oh,
it was so good. Every bit of it. Oh, my God. Finn kind of talking up a little bit. That was nice.
It was definitely dense. There was a lot of jokes in that sequence. I agree with you, Jennifer. I totally loved Kurt's response about internet comments. As my wife knows, really like one of the more despicable things I think exists in the world is people that comment on things on the internet. Unless you're commenting on us and you're nice, which is awesome.
Well,
but it is. I mean, it's just
you mean
like,
negative comments.
Exactly. Like anything that anyone ever wrote on IMDb. If you ever wrote something in an IMDb forum, it's probably horrible. But it was just like, it was really cool to hear that comment. And the way they finished it off was very glee-tastic with the slushy in Kurt's face.
Yeah, I mean, every aspect of that, it was like, it kind of reinforced the fact that they're still our favorite lovable losers.
Yeah.
Like they're always going to be them, no matter how full of themselves they get. You know what? They're the same ragtag bunch of kids that we love. So that was great.
Totally. A couple, I still got you, Ed. A couple things that came out plot wise from that sequence. Puck got a vasectomy over the summer.
Crazy.
Which is kind of crazy. And I guess we can just discuss this now because it comes up in much greater significance later in the episode. But did Naya Rivera get a boob job and I didn't notice? Or did the character get a boob job and I didn't notice?
I don't think she actually... I couldn't tell. But...
I couldn't tell either. That is not a very... Apparently not a very flattering cheerleading uniform on the top. I never read about her getting one. I mean, she seems to have a perfect body. I can't imagine, but I'm going to go ahead and just say it's just the character.
Yeah, I think it's a way, as it was used later, as a segue to get Quinn back on top since
yeah.
Santana was quote unquote on top. Even though I never saw her as the true head cheerleader in my eyes, it was always Quinn.
It was an interesting plot line. I mean, I guess we can just get into it right now. What I particularly liked about it was Sue making the argument that, like, this isn't... number one, it's not a particularly healthy thing to do at that age. And number two, you know, it was an interesting argument that Sue made where she's the one who's always like, better yourself at all costs. And, you know, it's all about appearances and it's all about, you know, outward projection. But then she's the one going, well, this isn't the right way to do it, though. Like, it's kind of cheating and it's kind of fake.
But she cheats all the time. What are you talking about?
Well, but in this particular case, like her argument, Sue's argument to Santana seemed to be, you know, if you're going to do it, it has to be something that you earned, that you created yourself, not something that you just paid for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like be comfortable in your own skin and, you know, be the best you that God created. and don't, you know, don't cheat like that.
It was just interesting to see that that argument. That's not a conversation I would have expected Glee to have, you know, about particularly when you're dealing with that many teenagers. That plot line came up on Scrubs like every 2 weeks, but you know, Scrubs is that type of a show. So we did learn a lot. The other big takeaway, I think, from that opening sequence was Finn's new dye job. Finn's hair is so black, it seriously made him look 5 years older. Did you guys have that at all? Or maybe he just grew up over the summer.
I didn't even notice he got his hair dyed. But I guess, I thought it was just shorter or something.
Jennifer, you noticed it, right?
I noticed it was darker. But again, Ed, I mean, I was the same way. I was like, oh, wow, it's just really short and groomed. And I thought, well, you know, Rachel has her new kind of severe chic haircut. Maybe she made Finn get a severe chic haircut. But it does look a little darker.
It's definitely darker. I mean, honestly, I want to say that it's like gone from brown to black. I'd have to get a picture. But
I think it's just shorter.
Well, in the episode, Beast actually comments on it. She calls him Wayne Newton.
Yes, who's like renowned for overly dyeing his hair.
Yeah, and having for like a particularly strictly coiffed, really dyed black hair.
Yeah, unnaturally black hair.
There you go. that was pretty surprising to me.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one until the second watch.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about Beast. You know, we had the three new characters, and we'll discuss them all. Beast was far and away my favorite. I love this character. I can't wait to see what she does. And she had some of the best jokes of the episode. The Wayne Newton joke was fantastic. The "you're all coffee and no omelet" was so good.
That doesn't make sense.
That's why it's so good. And the other one was, "you're like a steer that's got nipples but no oink." Like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
steer with too many teeth, no oink.
Yes, I mean, I'm very wary of new characters whenever they come on the show because I think they distract from the characters that I already like. But I love Beast. And Jennifer, how did you feel about the Beast?
Uh-oh.
Go ahead, Ed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Beast is definitely way more interesting than Tanaka, and she's the first character that could legitimately combat Osu, because no matter what Will did and his bag of antics, it was just never going to even come in comparison.
Jennifer, how did you feel about the Beast in this episode?
Oh, you mean the Panther?
Oh yeah, and she calls herself the Panther.
The Panther.
I thought she was amazing. I thought she was just perfect in every way. And seriously, her performance was so good. I started to cry a little bit when she was like, you know what, Schuster, I heard you were a good guy. I thought you were different, you know, and everything was right about that. But that last part, I was so hurt for her. But then, you know what, she's a very strong character. And I look forward to really good exchanges between her and Sue.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be a highlight of upcoming episodes. I think she and Sue are going to go at it, and Will is going to have to, you know, pick a side on either way. In this episode, we did get to see Will and Sue kind of working together, which was an odd dynamic to see.
Operation
them kind
Mean
of do
Girls is in effect.
Yes, Poo Cookies was involved there.
The whole pizza prank, seriously.
That was pretty good.
I thought that was pretty epic, the pizza prank. It was like,
that was fun.
I was trying to find, I did get an email from, listener Ashley, my friend Ashley, and he said that the Beast was just kind of showing all of the other guest stars how it's done, was his. Dot Jones is her name, and she's been around for quite a while, but this is definitely a great character for her to play. So we did get a bit of the Beast. It seems like she's going to be mixing up the football team, and football is going to become a new plot line this season, where last season football seemed to get abandoned pretty early on in the season. We kind of started with
it.
Yeah,
it was just used as the vehicle for singles, for single ladies, and then it was
sent away.
Yeah.
That was a good point. Like, they introduced it, but then, you know, by the second half of that season, I don't think we ever saw another football game.
Well, he was in basketball the second half of the season.
Oh, that's right.
In all fairness.
Football season. Well, yeah, football season only goes, you know, till winter.
That's a very good point. Yes, it is a fall sport. Let's see. In other guest stars, we also had Sunny. You know, the whole plot of this episode coming up.
I love Sunshine. Sunshine's sweet.
One of the plots of this episode, before we get to that, one of the plots of this episode is that they need a new member because Matt left. Did you guys catch that? Matt left.
Yeah, I did. Matt was useless, so it's whatever.
Yeah, but I mean, he just like disappeared. I don't know. It was so unceremonious.
He transferred. He transferred to a different school.
I think he was more underutilized than useless.
Okay. I'm not saying that but from the season, like looking back, his entire contribution was less than that of Harry Shum, and we all know how little he did. So.
Yeah, but he's made up for it in a big way with those abs. I wish you'd be more into things like his abs.
I'm like,
sorry, I didn't mean to jump.
No. I mean, that's a really good point. Tina and Harry, you know, like, are you guys did you guys get together this summer? What, you think because we're Asian we got together? And then, sure enough, they did.
So racist.
And they met at a camp where they teach Asian children about art.
Yeah,
because they're already good about math.
Detect them. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, let's talk a little about that. We have Mike Chang and Tina getting together.
What's his character name? I feel so stupid for not remembering it.
Mike Chang.
Mike Chang, yes.
We had a little Mike Chang and Tina getting together in this episode. And that was, I mean, first of all, yes, Jennifer, you have you obviously have Mike Chang's abs, which, you know, is one of the lasting images. Even as a straight man, I'm like, holy God. You can climb that like a ladder.
Yeah. You look good.
Yeah, and he did a lot more. He was a lot more involved in this episode. He was kind of
He had three speaking lines, which is like equivalent to his entire first season.
Right?
Exactly. Yes.
But even like in Billionaire, where he wasn't singing or playing an instrument, he was there kind of dancing and acting out. I mean, he was just present.
Dancing forever. Look at gives you hell. He dances. even Rachel identified this. Like, what if Sunshine's a good dancer? And your contribution will be even less than it was before.
So, Ed, how do we feel about Tina and Mike getting together?
My friend Julia, who was on the show earlier, like last season, she said that her favorite scene was Asian Camp, and it was definitely hilarium for sure.
That was pretty funny. I mean, it seems almost too obvious that they got together. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of the joke, though.
It makes them dynamic with Artie, like, because... Like, Tina and Artie were kind of in a stale place, I feel.
Oh, definitely.
So, this is, like, livening it up. And since it's going about it this way, and since they're not main characters, it isn't like the whole, like, Rachel Ross, Sookie Bill thing again. So, I mean, so it's definitely welcome.
Jennifer, how did you feel about Tina and Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely wasn't surprising watching them, you know, thinking of their dance scene last season together when Artie was singing. It makes sense. And I do like that they gave us an explanation as to why she broke up with him. I'm like, Artie, come on. You can't play Halo for 6 weeks and ignore your girlfriend. That just doesn't work.
Well, one of the running jokes with Artie is that he is the world's worst boyfriend, playing Halo. She says when he comes over, all he does is want to watch marathons of Coming Home. Ed, do you know the movie Coming Home?
I don't even know Coming Home.
This has to be, Jennifer, I'd say this is top one or two most random references that Glee has ever had.
Well, I mean, I think more obscure because, I mean,
obscure.
It's so fitting, but it's just, it's a movie with John Voight and Jane Fonda, and he comes home from the Vietnam War, based in the 70s, obviously, comes home from the Vietnam War in a wheelchair, and it's all about love with a paraplegic after the war, and it's just really, I mean, such a funny reference for them too.
It's 78. It's a Hal Ashby movie, so it's not even very, you know. I mean, it's known if you're a movie geek, like, obviously.
Well, I mean, they cater to apparently all audiences, even to the Josses of the world.
I mean, the one thing that I mean, if you see Coming Home on lists, it's almost always because it's known for having extremely graphic sex scenes, which I also think made the joke even funnier, is that it's a movie about a paraplegic with extremely graphic sex scenes, and that's the one he wants Tina to watch. in marathon viewings, apparently. It's also very heavy from what I remember. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
But
I'm
so,
sure,
yeah.
I'm sure it's lighthearted the 20th time through.
Well, you know, you mentioned Sunny before. Let's go ahead and talk about Sunny a little bit. But before we get there, let's go ahead and give a listen to Telephone, as covered by Lea Michele and Charisse. And here's a bit of Telephone.
Got no service in the club, you say, say. What did you say? Are you breaking up on me? Sorry, I cannot hear you. I'm kind of busy.
Of course, we need to start with Ed here. Ed, how did we feel about Telephone?
I love Telephone. It was great. Hands down, my favorite moment of the episode, which I didn't even catch in my third viewing, was that Rachel's sign said co-star with Rachel Berry, yep. Sign up for Glee. That was, I didn't even catch that until my third time through. I was like, oh my god, it's so good. It's so good. And Telephone, it was epic. It wasn't misplaced like Poker Face was.
That's an interesting comment. It's certainly. I mean, is this show running out of Lady Gaga songs?
No, they've only done three. How is it? You know what they're running out of?
They did a Gaga
Beyonce
episode
songs. They are. They've done Crazy in Love. They've done. Okay, now Single Ladies, Avi.
Did they
done,
do Crazy in Love?
Listen today. They've done. They've taken a lot from the catalogs of Beyonce, and only three songs from the catalog of Lady Gaga. So it is there's like the Lady Gaga episode wasn't even a real Lady Gaga episode. It was two songs, and I only liked one of them.
Well, it's definitely a you can definitely see where Ryan Murphy's musical tastes lie. I mean, he's very consistent in what he seems to like.
Like a drag queen's iPod, yeah.
Yeah. His musical
seriously,
selection.
Seriously, that is a great, great line.
It is so true. Jennifer, how did you feel about Telephone in this episode?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. And it was great to see Rachel kind of have to fight for her stardom there.
It's very true.
Or at least realize that there was going to be a fight for her stardom. Because, I mean, seriously, she starts off by, you know, thinking that this girl cannot speak English, and then just saying, you will enjoy swaying in the background and making me look good. But it was so much fun watching them. And she's adorable. She's just so cute and has a great voice and just adorable.
I agree on some of that. I agree with the comment that it's nice to see Rachel realizing that she's at least going to be threatened for her place. At the end of the... Go ahead.
Just like Sue was always the top dog.
Yeah.
And Rachel was always like, no matter what you say, Mercedes and Quinn were never going to topple Rachel. But Sunshine, there's a chance.
So, okay. Within the bounds of the plot, I agree with you. But within the bounds of a music listener, I don't think that Charisse can hold a candle to Lea Michele.
You're just emotionally committed to Rachel, no. Which I totally understand.
No, I'm
I'm emotionally committed, but she's better. Like, Sunshine, I'm not saying she's better, but she's almost on par in comparison to everyone else.
I don't think that she's anywhere near on par, to the point where I thought her version of Listen was really embarrassing. Like, I'm going to totally sound like Randy Jackson, but I thought that her version of Listen... Her version of Listen, that was a giant song sung by like 80% of the voice that it required. And we'll listen to Listen later. But I mean, my problem with Charisse in this episode, like, you're right, she's totally adorable. She fits the role perfectly. And it is fun to see that character. But one, I think she's a horrible actress. Like, she telegraphs across the room. And it's not the type of character. It means like where a person is trying too hard to display their emotion. Like, you can, you know, not only can you read their emotion, but like, it's screaming off their face. It's just, there's no sublety to her performance. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no subtlety at all.
I think where Rachel stands apart, I mean, not to say that she's not amazing in other aspect, is her ability to display emotions is definitely one of her strong points, without a doubt.
Yeah, which is part of the character. You know, it's like Lea Michele couldn't play that many other characters because part of the character of Rachel is that she, you know, has no poker face, pun intended. But I don't know. I did not like Charisse one little bit in this episode. I liked what the character represented, and I hope to see what the character will become. But musically, I thought she was totally lacking, and acting wise, like, I mean, seriously, her line read of when she gets sent to the crack house and she says they stole my sheet music and used it as toilet paper. Her line read is embarrassing. Like, she says it, they took my sheet music and they used it as toilet paper. Like, she forgets the line halfway through, and it drives me
crazy. Maybe it was intentional. Maybe it was supposed to be that way. You don't have the original script. Maybe it was written. Read this like you forgot it. I don't know.
It sounds bad. But Jennifer, this is your opportunity to stand up for Charisse and tell me I'm crazy.
She seemed a little uncomfortable when she was trying. Yeah, in that particular scene. But I mean, she's also new and she was kind of being ambushed in the bathroom. So I saw, you know, there was she was just sort of shocked but trying to smile through it. So, I didn't think it was that bad.
It's definitely not as tragic as he's making it out to be.
Yeah.
I thought it was horrible. I really dislike
this. This is where Josh the writer gets in, like, overpowers Josh the viewer.
I don't know. Honestly, but the writer's part of me is saying I like the character and I like what the character represents. It's the music fan in me and the acting fan in me that's just going, she doesn't, I mean, and honestly, maybe if she wasn't playing against such a strong character to begin with, like maybe if she had more of her scenes with, you know, some of the lesser members of the Glee Club, it wouldn't be so apparent to me, you know, at this stage, how she's not very comfortable in what she's doing.
Well, she just got to that country, and then she got sent to a non-active crack house, and then she's like she's. I mean, she's allowed to be a little startled, and she's joining a quote unquote family, like the Glee kids from last year. They're like they've been together for a while now, so she definitely. I'm sure in real life feels like a little bit like the person out of it, even if they're trying to include her. She's still not going to be like, she's still not going to be Rachel and Quinn's roommate, which they are in real life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and you make a good point. I mean, it is an interesting situation that they've created, and it'll be fun to see. I could never quite tell if the character, the character says she speaks English, but she had about three lines in the whole episode. So I kept waiting for her to speak to be like, how well do you speak English? But she pretty much rarely ever did. Yeah. You know, it's an interesting dichotomy.
But she got a green card. So
she did. Her parents did now.
She did. Her mom and her from Vocal Adrenaline. Yes. Vocal Adrenaline region.
Well, so, you know, the culmination of that plot line being Rachel trying really hard to get rid of her and sending her to the crack house, as you mentioned, Edward, which that was, I mean, Rachel's done some crazy stuff, but almost get a person killed. That was impressive.
Well, what's so confusing was Like, it was just at the auditorium. Like, why was Rachel giving her directions? Like, at first, right? I was like, okay, well, I'm like, I guess she's just being excessively nice. And then when we discover the actual truth, it's like...
Yeah, I seriously thought she, you know, it was clearly going to be a setup because she's like, oh, and I gave you very helpful directions. I'm like, okay, so she's going to send her down that one stairwell that takes you to the basement and locks on the inside, and she's going to get stuck there, and the janitor won't find her until morning. I mean, that's the worst I thought Rachel would do.
No, yeah. No, Rachel's much more devious than that.
I had no idea.
And I love the fact that Diva Rachel is back with a vengeance. Like,
seriously.
I was talking about how I was concerned that we would never see that again, but it's back.
Someone
opened Pandora's box, and now you can deal with her for the next 24 hours.
But so, she almost got to a point there, though, that I almost started to believe her that it really was for other people, but I'm like, no, wait a second.
Yeah.
She's not trying to protect everybody and their spots on the Glee team. It's just she's trying to protect herself.
Oh, when she's telling Tina and Mike about how, like, you don't want her in the club because she's Asian, and if she can dance, you guys will become less important than you already are.
I know. Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, well, maybe Rachel really believes that. I'm like, no. Okay.
No.
I had a momentary lapse.
So we did eventually, you know, Sunshine made the choice to go over to a Vocal Adrenaline with the help of its new vocal coach, Cheyenne Jackson.
I am so jealous.
Excited to see him on the show. I can't He's wait awesome. To see what he does. He was so good in 30 Rock. He was fantastic.
And he can sing. He can sing really well.
Oh, my God. He can sing fantastic. He can sing so good, I forgive him for being in Xanadu the Musical. He's that good. So
I loved Sunshine's Hello Kitty backpack.
Oh, so cute.
We did get a bit of, you know, so at the end of that, Sunshine left, and we had this great conversation with Finn and Rachel, where Finn is convincing Rachel, look, you have to go, and you have to be honest with the club, and you have to tell them why you did it. And even to the very end, Rachel doesn't want to just admit, hey, I didn't want to give up the spotlight, I wanted to fight it. And she finally does admit it. She asks Finn at one point, how bad is it in there, talking about the other Glee Clubbers, and he says, I talked them out of giving you the code red. Again, a totally awesome. Random reference.
A few good men?
Yes, exactly.
No, oh, okay.
Which I think means killing her? Like,
well, in that particular movie, it led to that, but no, yeah. It's supposed to be just...
Oh, yeah. The Extreme. Code red was they filled his mouth with Drano and then taped his mouth shut.
No, it was like a bleach soaked sock or something, and then taped his mouth shut. So it was an
that's
extreme,
right. In real life, it was Drano. Message. In the movie, it was the bleach soaked sock. You are correct. But yes, yeah, so that was a totally random reference, but it made me laugh. And then of course we got Rachel singing her big solo of the episode, which is what
I felt like it was such a tack on. They were like, oh we need to end the episode, oh Rachel hasn't done a solo yet, okay. I felt like that's how I felt about the end of the episode.
I mean it works
on the level of what she did for love for the Glee Club, what she did for the love of Finn, what she did for the love of herself. I mean, on those levels I'm kind of digging it, but in the end it fell flat for me.
I actually agree with you on that one, Ed, entirely. I think that it was kind of a Scrubs ending. Like, again, I referenced Scrubs, but it was kind of a Scrubs ending in that each episode would end with JD giving some kind of a narration that applies to everyone, and it's done over a musical montage. And, you know, that's pretty much exactly what this was. It did feel really tacked on. It was like the plot ended, and then she sang one more song. And they've done that in the past, like with Take a Bow is kind of...
Take a Bow was an emotional struggle for me. So it was different.
Well, and that's the thing. I think it was a better song. It wasn't a better song, but I think it was more relevant to the moment.
It had more emotional impact. I almost didn't care. I mean, I still love Rachel, but I didn't care about this song.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that as much as it did apply to everyone, it just... it didn't have the same emotional power that Take a Bow did it, when it was used. And so, I mean, I agree, Ed. This song started, and then I got up and went to the kitchen to, you know, refill my water glass, and totally didn't notice that I'd done that and that the show was still going. Like, it just felt like the episode was over and they did one more thing. But I don't know, Jennifer, how did you feel about What I Did for Love in this episode?
Yeah, it kind of, I think I started to wander a little bit mentally during it because I didn't really feel that it was sincere. I don't think it was nearly as sincere and heartfelt and as it was probably intended. And then to the point my mind wandered that when the episode ended, I was like, oh, the show's
over.
Oh,
it's over? Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I was there too.
It startled me. It did startle me because the song was just such a contrast to the other songs from the episode, which were so high energy.
That's a good point. I mean, it is true what you say too. You know, I don't really believe that Rachel feels bad about what she did. And even in the lyrics of the song, she's saying, I can't forget and I won't regret what I did for love. Like, so she's even in the song saying that she doesn't feel bad about what she did. But the delivery and the look on her face and all these things, and she's about to go apologize to them. So it was just a little odd. It didn't quite hang together for me. That said, What I Did for Love is one of my top 10 favorite songs ever, and it's you know, one of the greatest musical theater songs
ever. You need to
get over
a chorus line.
Dude, okay, first of all, no. And second of all, this song, not only is this song the best song in chorus line, like, it's better than a chorus. Actually, the music in the mirror is pretty awesome too. But those two songs, this song is just, let's go ahead and take a listen to it, as long as we're going to discuss it. This is Lea Michele performing What I Did for Love. I'm sure this was a no-brainer. Somebody wrote this on a piece of paper and somebody else went, done. So here's a bit of What I Did for Love.
Wish me luck the same to you, but I can't regret what I did for love, what I did for love. Look, my eyes are dry. Forget what I did for love, what I did for love. Gone. Love is never gone as we travel on. Love's what we. Today, goodbye.
Come on, Ed. Seriously. It's just
I like
song.
I like fell asleep listening to that.
Oh my, I'm going to crawl through this Skype connection.
Enough.
So
play nice, boys.
What I did. Well, let's move on to something that I'm sure Ed you'll have many a fine opinion about. Let's talk a little bit about Cordova Street and
Sam Evans. Epic.
His addition to the cast.
I want
to
open with the whole friggin' the shower scene was so good. That is all.
I almost thought about giving him a bitch in harmony, but the guy's naked. it was funny, the whole shower scene being a mirror of how, you know, of how Finn got into the Glee Club.
Yeah, but less drugs this time around.
Yeah, no drugs involved. And you mentioned his character name, which I totally forgot. What was that, Ed?
Sam Evans.
Sam Evans, that's right. According to TV.com, he was cast the day before shooting his version of Billionaire. The song could not be changed to suit Overstreet's voice, so he was forced to sing a key higher than he normally would. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And also, according to TV.com, we learned that the character is dyslexic. Did I miss that plot line?
He said it in the whole introduce yourself. I like comic books. I'm dyslexic, yeah. So my grades aren't good. But I'm working on it.
Oh, interesting.
And then Puck was like, "How big? You have big lips. How many tennis balls have you fit in there? I don't know. How many balls have you fit in your mouth?"
That's actually really funny.
It was pretty epic. I was like, I love Finn's reaction. I was like, oh, that's so good.
Now it's funny that the character is dyslexic because there's a character in Britannia High who's also dyslexic and looks exactly like Sam Evans or
and
like
it,
Court
and
Overstreet.
Court Overstreet. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that'd be funny too.
That'd be crazy.
So yeah, we have Court Overstreet in this episode playing Sam Evans. He really didn't do that much. Like, this was kind of just his introduction.
He got the quarterback position though.
He got that from Finn. And Finn got kicked off the football team and tries out for the Cheerios. How crazy was that?
Oh, with Becky. Love Becky.
Becky's
oh,
awesome.
Oh, God.
Now, as a former male cheerleader, that was some really bad cheerleading. So yeah. I can just attest to that.
Some people on Facebook listed Finn's dancing as their favorite thing. Shout out to Rich Zaragoza and Mick O'Brien. They just like destroyed their names. They probably hate me. But shout out.
That was pretty funny. What's Becky's line? Like, is this really happening?
Oh, I know. I was like, epic.
That was great. Yeah, she was really good in this episode. She's one of those characters that if she was ever the focus of an episode, I don't think it would be fun, but you just kind of sprinkle Becky around and she's always fun. Like, it's always great to see her just hanging out.
Yeah, I'm concerned about next week for Brittany, because that's how I feel about Brittany.
That's entirely how I feel about Brittany. I'm very concerned that next week will be too much Brittany, but you know, we'll get to see. So Jennifer, how did you feel about Sam Evans, Court Overstreet's introduction?
I thought it was really good. I didn't think it was, overplayed, heavy-handed, or anything like that. I thought it was, very natural introduction. And yeah, he's hysterical. And whether or not he knew what he was saying when he said, "I've never had any balls in my mouth, have you?" It's like either he's brilliant or stupidly brilliant. It's either way, I love it. So,
his delivery on that one is pretty perfect. Like, yeah. He covers that really well.
Yeah, because again, I couldn't tell. Again, I watched it several times. I could not tell if he meant it or if he realized what he was saying or if it just was a very happy accident. So I thought it was good, and it's interesting to hear that he was singing in a different key, because I'm like, wow, he sounded so different in the shower. And of course, that's the shower with no music. And then when he performed with the group per Puck's encouragement, I was like, well, he's good. He's kind of all over the place. I don't know what this guy really sounds like. So,
let's see. Listener Ashley sent me an interview with Court Overstreet where he says his father wrote the song "She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy." That's exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd tell people that. No, of course you'd tell people that. That song made a ton of money. It was a huge hit in the 90s when I was in college.
That was a hit?
She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy? That was a huge hit. That was a crazy two-stepping song at the clubs when I went to clubs that had two-stepping.
I was like, what's a two-step? I'm so out of the loop that I don't want to be a part of.
Killing me. So yes, there's not much to say about Court Overstreet and Sam Evans. He just kind of, it was a very quick, almost throwaway, but it is nice to see Finn kind of having a protege, one of the great things about Finn's character, one of my favorite things that Finn would do is when he was the coach, when he had to kind of step up and be the leader, that was always great moments for that character. And here, I think it's going to kind of take that one step further, and we're going to get to see him to be a bit of a mentor. It was also interesting because Cord represents to Finn exactly what Sunshine represents to Rachel. So there's going to be a dynamic.
Not exactly.
Oh, what? Totally.
Well, like, Finn isn't star crazed about the competition like Rachel is. So it's not the same.
But I mean,
not to the glee club, but to the football team.
Exactly.
He's threatening Finn in the one era that Finn totally dominates.
Yeah, I mean, Sam is the
best of the worst. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens because, yeah, Finn seems to want to be a mentor to Sam and wants to help Sam. But Sam is kind of like, oh, and by the way, that, you know, that football that he says without football, he has no identity. Well, you know, Sam's got that position on the team. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see how that develops.
Yeah, I don't see the same altruistic intentions in Finn next week.
Now we got to hear Cord Overstreet perform Billionaire. This is a song that I actually have only heard in cars passing.
Oh, okay. So you have heard it.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay. So waiting for Josh to tell us that he'd never heard it.
No. I whenever it's at least twice, maybe three times. I swear, I think it was three times. I was sitting at a stoplight and the car next to me had this song playing really loud. And I also know the song because of the Glee satire or the Glee parody that they made. That guy made where he changed the lyrics to be about how much he wants to be on the TV show. Have you guys not heard this one?
No, but...
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a listen to Billionaire. This is originally by Travis McCoy from the Gym Class Heroes and Bruno Mars. And this is, the second rap song we got in this episode? So there was lots of rapping in this one. Here's Billionaire.
I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shining lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire. Yeah, I will have a show like Oprah. I will be the host of everyday Christmas. Give Audie a wish list. I'll probably pull an Angelina and Brad Pitt and adopt a bunch of babies that ain't never had it. Give away a few Mercedes like, hey lady, have this. And last but not least, grant somebody their last wish. It's been a couple months that I've been single, so you can call me Audie Claus minus the ho-ho. Get it? I'll probably visit with Katrina here. And Don Shore do a lot more than FEMA did. Yeah, can't forget about me, stupid. Everywhere I go, I'ma have my own thing.
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
I want you to see what you see, bro.
I see my name is shining light.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty catchy. That's a very catchy song there. I liked this one. You know, it's not very often that we get musical pieces on this. I think I said Travis McCoy too, and I think he goes by Travy. But it's not often that we get musical performances on this show that's just kind of them jamming, like just kind of hanging out and having a good time. And that was fun, to see that.
We've had a couple,
yeah. But this wasn't really a performance.
Like,
he was just kind of doing it. Yeah. And and Papa Don't Preach. That was kind of dancing around.
Oh yeah, that's so jamming.
It was for them. But yeah, so I enjoyed this one. Jennifer, how'd you feel about Billionaire in this episode?
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was fun to see the boys kind of have their bonding moment because there were so many different individual stories. You never got to see, you know, the group or part of the Glee club group get together and sort of bond. So it was nice.
Ed, I assume you loved this one.
I think it was fantabulous. So. that's the only way to say it. And what I've been now pondering about is I was always a little concerned about how, like, as you kind of got towards the end of the season, except for maybe the last episode, the episodes weren't as dense, and then here we are again. The episode is dense. The self-aware humor is back. Diva Rachel is back. It's like they were listening.
That's Diva Quinn is back.
Diva Quinn is back.
Oh my god! I felt empowered when she put that Cheerios uniform back on. That's
how excited was Diana Agron to be able to dance around in the Empire State of Mind sequence without the pregnant belly padding?
Oh, I'm sure she was.
She must have been thrilled.
Although Santana had some good dance moves too.
Oh, they all did. I mean, in Britney, that was a fun scene to watch.
Yeah, it was.
Because, you know, we're seeing little clips of it every now and then, but to watch the whole thing play out. But yeah, Ed, I am so with you. When Diana Agron was strutting down the corridor in her Cheerios uniform, I got goosebumps. Wow. She's back.
That was a big return to form. Totally. Here's a bit of... let's see. Here's a bit of the I Want to Be on the Show Glee parody song here. I can fast forward it a little bit. There we go.
So freaking bad. I love it when Sue Sylvester gets mad. I won't be doing covers of everybody's favorite songs with Jenna Oshkowitz and Finn's mom. Oh, Mr. Schuster, hear my cries. I'll show up every Tuesday night. Yeah. I'll take Mark Sailing out and buy him fries. Oh, we really love to see our favorite show, Glee. Yo, I would probably sing a little chorus with that Heather Morris pushing Artie's wheelchair, making fun of William's hair. You could write me in as Rachel Berry's boyfriend, like Jesse never happened and she ain't never had Finn. Let Mercedes have a solo like, can't even have this. And take a spot behind it just singing and dancing. It will be a blast to be a cheerleader.
I'll go ahead and put that on the website. But it was just funny that they chose, that they performed that song in the show. Because I'm like, oh, hey, the first time I heard this song, they were talking about Glee. So it's a good cover. Well, you know, we're pretty much near the end. We'll go ahead and finish with... We'll take the show out on Listen by Charisse's performance of that song, and you can see how it doesn't even hold a candle to the Beyonce version. But before we go, Ed, did you have any feedback off the Facebook page or reviews that you wanted to mention?
I'd like to thank everyone who reviewed and commented. I posted a little bit of a first when the episode hit, I wrote a little blog thing, and I got a lot of comments. So
good.
Thank you to everyone who replied. And we have for new podcast reviews, we have Michaela Haggerty, Gleek Freak, Jake Sussman, and some people who are on the Facebook page, Samantha Algier, Caitlin Bruce, Carissa Nielsen, Dylan Willis, Amanda Hubert, Michelle Benson, and a whole bunch more. Thank you for replying. I promise I read them. I need to read them and be more prepared and be like splice them throughout the episode. Yeah, and I have a closing comment, but I'll get to that in a little bit.
Well, I have one more thing I just remembered about the episode. During the performance of Millionaire, Ed, you're gonna say I'm crazy, but in the song you're hearing an electric guitar, but in the episode you're seeing them play two acoustic guitars, and that bothered me. But you know,
but there was several jazz band members in the background. So.
Yeah, but I'm looking at he's playing that chord.
Oh yeah, and I also saw him playing that guitar a little. Like shakily, I was like, I don't know if those chords are corresponding to what I'm hearing, but I mean, so it goes.
A very good point. Jennifer, do you have anything else?
Nothing that nitpicky.
Well, we did get two comments that are worth mentioning. First of all, we pronounced it Lima, Ohio, but it is Lima. We have gotten that correction in the past, so we apologize for that. We will do our best to call it Lima. And I pronounced Rachel's character, I pronounced Leah Michelle's character in Spring Awakening as Wendla, but it is Vendla. Because it is a German name, and yes, she was topless in the Broadway performance, so you definitely don't want to Google image search Leah Michelle in Spring Awakening. So anyway, guys, I think that's pretty much it. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. Join the Facebook fan page and talk to Ed if you'd like to do that. And yeah, I apologize for not responding to emails this week, but it's been a crazy, busy, wild week. But we should be back in sorts next week. Jennifer, you're coming home, right? Just to confirm.
I'm still scheduled to come home. Yes.
Yeah, she hasn't abandoned her life in LA.
Wait a minute,
Chicago. Just yet.
I haven't traded in LA for the Windy City. No.
I do. I've heard it's nice there, but I have hardware on my left hand that says you do technically have to come home. That's all I'm saying.
I'll Skype you pictures of it.
Oh, good. Very cool. Ed, you had one last thing?
Yes. I want to make a comment on how supposedly Empire State of Mind is like the theme song for this year. And I want to talk about how that relates to last year's. Last year's was clearly Don't Stop Believing.
Yes.
And last year they set out to build an empire. And this year they're setting out to prove that if they can make it here, they can make it anywhere.
Wow.
Wow.
Very deep. Cool. Yep. Very awesome. Deep. okay. Yes. And so that's pretty much it. You can check out all that stuff that we already talked about, yada, yada, yada. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
Sun shining all over the world, except when the monsoon hits. Peace out, Ed.
I don't know. I don't think that one's going to catch, dude.
I know. It's a little indense, but I figured I could mix it up. It's a little sunshine.
All right. We'll talk to everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You should have listened. There was someone here inside. Someone I thought had died so long ago. Oh, I'm screaming out, and my dreams will be heard. They will not be pushed aside or burned into your own. Oh, 'cause you won't listen.
I told you, Ed, about how this song is better than And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going. Have I made that argument to you before?
No, but okay, you can make it.
Well, no, another time.